The butler. Period, period, period. It must be the butler. The butler did it. That is always how it is, especially if you watch Clue. The butler was did it, so did it, the butler did it. This is the Reality Rant Podcast. I'm Eric Pierce with Games and News Net. That is Will Hammond. And most importantly, who done it?
Bill. I'm Will now?
Yeah, you're Will when I feel like it. That's
okay,
so on your little Skype call thing, so we have to go with what we see, you know.
So you have now dropped to the level of the security guards at work.
Yeah, but hey, look at it this way. At least I'm calling you Kirby.
Thank you.
There you go. See?
There's always a way to work your way around it.
Yes, folks.
I'm a big pink puffball.
It's not that Kirby. Dr. Will Kirby. But yes, we're in a mild punch drunk state because we've been staying up way too late, partially watching Big Brother live feeds, but hey, we'll share that with you another time. More importantly, we have a soft spot in our hearts here at the Reality Rant, and those of you who've been following us over the years at this point, scary concept,
yeah.
We have a passion for a certain show, and that show would be called The Mole.
Mm-hmm.
And Solitary, but The Mole is what we're referring to right now, and it may arguably be the most intelligent, intriguing, enthralling reality show ever to hit the television airwaves, and we miss it dearly. And let's make that very clear that we're talking about The Mole, not Celebrity Mole.
Well, and also let's be clear, it's the smartest and most intelligent and enthralling next to Moment of Truth.
Well, that's personal, but that's not a reality show. That's a train wreck. That's what that is. But having seen The Mole, having loved The Mole, when Whodunit came around, it was like, wait, there's going to be a murder, and the murderer is among the contestants, and everyone's going to have to figure out some kind of a mystery? Mm-hmm. Sabotage and death and intelligence in a reality show? Wah?
Novel concept.
This is like the anti-Big Brother, especially if you've seen this Big Brother 15 cast. This cast is more vapid and saline injected than ever. And then you come to Whodunit, who has a cast full of former detectives, police officers, pub trivia hosts. What happened here, Bill?
It's a bit shocking, honestly. First of all, I'm just kind of wondering what's next for ABC, because this is the third straight year where their summer replacement reality show has been a complete and utter ripoff of another show. I was like, two years ago we had Expedition Impossible ripping off the Amazing Race.
Mm-hmm.
Last year it was Glass House ripping off Big Brother. This year, at least they're ripping off another ABC property in The Mole with elements of Murder in Small Town X thrown in for just for kicks, you know?
Which, let's break it down now. I mean, we could sit here all the time we wanted and pick on the show and what we think and who's in charge and who killed who. But the real thing we have to do with the premiere here is, first of all, admit the fact that this show is probably going to be one and done. Sorry, folks. It's just the truth of the matter. So enjoy it while it lasts. But more importantly, where does Whodunit succeed, and where does it fail?
I think it actually succeeds in one area where a lot of critics are actually complaining about it. It is so cheesy and campy, you just have to love it.
Thank you. It irritated me when people actually came out critical saying, oh, you know, the butler's trying to be too funny and the people are fake acting. Yes, everyone knows that Sherry, the poor little cheerleader, didn't actually die, didn't actually get electrocuted, you know, except for maybe Dante, who thought she drowned, and Dante got his. We'll get to that joke in a moment, but seriously.
And yet Reality Blurred had to write an article telling people to stop Googling asking if they actually died.
Yes. So that's the problem, is people watch a reality show thinking, it's real. Wait a minute. Isn't that the argument that's been done for the past decade, that reality shows aren't real and that's the problem? I have a friend who complains that Survivor isn't Survivor because people don't die often enough.
Is he going to watch Bear Grylls' Get Out Alive?
Probably. He's actually kind of thrilled about that. But okay. When it comes to Whodunit, they enjoy the camp factor. Again, please, if you haven't already, go watch the movie Clue.
Yeah.
That clearly was a piece of inspiration for Whodunit. And when you have Giles come out and say, yes, come and get some finger sandwiches, and then the contestants are saying yes, because after I was in the morgue examining a dead body, there's no better way to celebrate than with finger sandwiches.
Yep.
I'm like, come on. This is fun. The contestants are admitting that it's a game. Even when they saw Sherry dead, it was like, okay, I know she's not actually dead. They're willing to break that wall, and I really appreciate that. I'm not trying to watch a drama. This is a competition. It's a game. It's a contest. Again, people aren't actually being killed off. Did you watch King of the Nerds? Did you think that all those guys were being laser beamed off and thrown into chasms and hit with rocks? No! It's just part of the game, and if anything, it's almost an honor to be killed off of these games.
Yeah, and believe me, if they were really killing people off on King of the Nerds, then I really wanted Genevieve to lose. like in the first three episodes instead of in the final vote.
But no, they're not actually killing people. Let's just state that again. They're not actually killing people.
But here's the part where the show fails.
Okay.
I love the camp value.
Mm-hmm.
I love Giles. He's just so out there. But the show needs to decide whether it's going to be pure camp or if they're going to treat it as if it's a show, because again, we had that confessional from Don's, like, I'm looking at her, I know that's not actually a dead body, you know, yet everybody's like, oh, sometimes they're in a confessional, they're like, oh, I don't want to be the next one killed, and mm-hmm. and then other times they're like, I can't wait to win this $250,000 and solve this mystery. It's like pick
it,
one
it
are you
one of
are you are you
pick either yeah. constantly break that fourth wall and let them joke as much as they want,
or don't at all
really let us dive into this being serious and oh crap, someone's about to die.
Yeah,
I prefer the camp mode because it's really hard to suspend disbelief that hard, that long, and I don't want to feel as if everyone's trying to be an actor. That becomes a problem when everyone's faking, oh my god, I might get killed next, this is ridiculous. No, we'll have that moment at the end of the show, which, let's state it now, Dante flaming Inferno, yes, yeah. Dante's Inferno, folks, running out and jumping into the pool. That moment sold me on the episode. All the other things that I had problems with during the episode, I just forgot in that moment because I'm like, this might be the best reality elimination ever.
And honest to God, it got me thinking, like, you know, just do they have, you know, humorous, pun, referential deaths in store for everybody?
It would kind of be fantastic if they cast everyone knowing what they were going to do to them.
It's like, will they turn Gino into salami?
Really? Really? It's Gino, not Genoa.
Well, I was going to say turn him into a mediocre quarterback, but the Jets,
that's a whole other thing.
The Jets have suffered enough.
Yes, they have. So, diving more into the episode itself, the clues, especially for the puzzles, I thought were fantastic. They actually required a decent degree of brain power to figure out. The problem being the execution of the clues. It started out with everyone getting an individual key, but it quickly became everybody piggyback.
Yeah.
And we've already stated how much we hate that on things like The Race, where it's like, hey, follow them, follow them, follow them. There needs to be a better way for this information to be secret, or at least to limit the number of people who can get it. Frankly, after the whole key to the Bible, through the window, to the backyard, open up the case kind of thing, I was sitting there saying, why is it that everyone has their own individual keys, and why isn't it limited to maybe two or three people? Because after it was all done, the people who still hadn't figured it out, what's to prevent them from continuing to just try to solve the puzzle in their own time? Yeah. Everything was still there. The key would still open the lock.
Yep.
It should just be, if you can figure it out, you get it. If you can't figure it out, time's up. And it would be very interesting if they did something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And did it 30 minutes before accusations. So if you can solve that puzzle in the 30 minutes, you'll get that information. You'll get the slingshot. You'll know. If you can't solve it within the 30 minutes, you're on your own.
And this is an area where the show kind of departs from the Murder in Small Town X source material.
Mm-hmm.
If you recall the show back then, or even know, because it's been 12 years.
It has been.
The way that show operated, first of all, they were able to maintain the more seriousness of the situation because they had a whole town of actors, you know, working around the contestants.
And they went full-blown horror there, so.
And they were actually killing off characters as the story went along. But the whole thing is, like, when they would always split them off, you know, to look for, you know, clues in different areas because there's just so much, you know, space in this whole town to cover.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it was really just a back lot. But then they would come together and compare notes because the goal of the episode wasn't just to survive. It was also to eliminate suspects.
Right.
And only so many suspects could be eliminated by the killer knocking them off. Like, you actually had to, you know, answer questions from the killer about, you know, the clues that you found. And if you got it right, you could eliminate a suspect. Mm. And then when it came time for the death style elimination, they voted off one another in secret, and then whoever got voted off got to take one more with them. They split off. One gets a clue, one gets killed, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It was like, the whole point is that show rewarded collaborative effort and making sure that the collective intelligence of the room could solve the mystery. This show, on the other hand, is actually promoting be as divisive as possible, don't share information, in the hopes of honestly breaking out the worst in humanity. Like, because honestly, if you're saying, hey, there's a mystery here, and if we don't solve it, we could be killed, I'm making sure that you don't have the information so that you are killed.
Here's the funny thing. I agree and disagree, because they're doing both. There is definitely a clear benefit to lying in this game. If you're on this game, the best strategy you have is to make a good but small-ish alliance, people that you know and believe that you can trust, which, that may be tricky in a game like this, but because they force you to search one of three areas, either the morgue, the last known whereabouts, or the crime scene, you cannot get all the information yourself. That element alone, which is a very smart element, forces you to collaborate with others. It forces alliances of minimum three people. If you can do that well, it then becomes a, hey, let's have an alliance of three, and this week, let's invite X to be our fourth. And everything we tell X is a lie. But we all agree that that's how it happened. So they're hearing it from three different people, they believe that this is actually how it happened, and then they completely blow it. As long as you get them killed off every week, that's probably your best overall strategy.
Yeah.
Mind you, there's the threat of, wait, did you just form an alliance with the killer?
Yeah.
And would the killer lie to you in order to get you eliminated? But even if you form an alliance with the killer, and the killer's lying, you still are going to have two-thirds of the information, which was probably good enough to get you through two-thirds of the show.
Yeah. I mean, based on the snippets of the accusations that we got in the show, I mean, the whole thing is available online, but I'm keeping it within the confines of the broadcast.
Yes.
You really had, I mean, Don and Dante, like, were way the hell off base.
I still, like, how did he get on that show? Drowning! I mean, there were just some things that were just so preposterous, and Don's kind of playing the lovable lug, but the really, really bad cop that, frankly, his force should be embarrassed.
So, seriously, how did everybody just decide, oh no, you're a cop? What about him just gave away that cover, you know?
I think what it comes down to is that everyone assumes on a show like this, the way reality TV works is they're going to cast cops in the house. There's no way they couldn't have cast a cop. So they just slowly eliminated their way down until they felt like, oh, you're a cop. And like you said, he used a lot of terminology that sounded more like an officer or a detective than necessarily a football coach.
Yeah, but I would use that terminology if I watched CSI, you know?
Yeah, potentially. Let's talk about that for a second, because this has some heavy CSI elements. And if you've ever watched an episode of CSI, there's some real intentional humor in some of those CSI episodes.
Yeah.
Some of the lines that are just dropped out of nowhere, you're like, really? Did he just say what?
To say nothing of David Caruso's entire spinoff.
So, it's like, okay, we get it. You're playing that up here and have some fun with it. Let's dive a little deeper into the actual problems of this show. Okay. Beyond the fact that, obviously, lying might be a little over-encouraged, and that clue-sharing, you know, they need to make these more individualistic. I really hope that when they said passages, as much as we both got a Bible reference from that, I was really hoping it would be a secret passage that only one person could fit into.
Yeah.
So that when the person got it, they get in there, they're the only person who can get in and see it, and destroy the evidence. And that's probably the next thing to do, is to set the evidence in a situation where they can, like, put a bomb on it. Do the whole Mission Impossible, this will self-destruct in 10 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Which would just be great for another explosion every time. But hey, do it. I have another problem with the fact that I don't believe we've been given any actual clues to determining who the murderer is. And frankly, I don't think the contestants were either. I think the only thing they have is if any of the players are acting in a weird way. Yeah. Or not actually making the effort to solve the mysteries. Which I think it's easy enough for the production to not tell the supposed murderer how things are happening, and say, you're playing along with everybody else. You are the murderer, you can't be eliminated, but if we don't tell you, you play along with everyone else, and it's easy cover.
Yeah. I mean, if I had to actually pick a list of suspects, I have four that could be, you know?
Okay.
I would start off with Don and Ronnie. Mm-hmm. Both of them cops, because Ronnie's a private investigator. Both of them cops with cover story jobs, Don being a football coach, Ronnie selling frozen food, so yet somehow they bought that. But more importantly, you know, Sherry's death was overproduced. I mean, even having a separate cutaway scene of the glass of champagne dropping.
Mm-hmm.
When that happened, and they cut back to the live scene of the group, you know, everybody saw it, but Don and Ronnie were the ones who really drew attention to it, like saying things like, "Oh, come on, you really couldn't hold the glass," stuff like that. And the killer in his notes taunted Sherry, basically saying he killed her because she dropped the glass. You know, so maybe maybe if they're the ones drawing attention to it, that's a bit of a hint. And also, and in the same vein, you know, the fact that the killer likes to taunt their lack of intelligence, Ronnie was the one who basically solved the key puzzle and then let everybody know. And of course, he's in the confessional, like, "Oh, I can't believe I let everybody know." It's like, you, if you're the killer, you're kind of actually giggling about the fact that you had to do their work for them.
Which I will say this, I'm kind of missing that, and it could be a great way to give the audience clues. Mm-hmm. How come we aren't doing any confessionals in shadow with the killer?
When there's a person who's in the
witness protection program,
yeah, the,
and
the,
you do
the
that
backlit silhouette, and they modulate the voice
exactly. Yeah.
The other two potential, Sasha, not just because she, you know, basically won the episode, but you know, I went back to the episodes, like, you know, what did she say that she got so right? And in that entire montage, she's in it for like literally half a sentence. We don't even see who she accuses. So, and again, I know it's available online, but again, within the confines of the broadcast, she wins, but we're given no information about how she won. So that's a little bit suspicious to me. And I know they're all pointing toward Adriana right now, you know, at least it's the one that they want gone.
Right.
But you do have to wonder, one, how she survived with so little information given to her. They had that scene
not
of her
survived,
standing over the...
but spared, not even scared.
Yeah, like they had that one scene with her standing over the railing in the foyer, making it sound like she overheard everybody talking late in the game. But I don't think the acoustics in the house are that good. But also with her little corner of the treasure chest, the corner of the footlocker that she knew
had left and right,
that she knew had to be the murder weapon. Like, there was no explanation for that piece of furniture's existence in the whole CSI reveal. So maybe she is trying to throw red herrings at the group, you know. I don't think she's a killer, because it's like a mole situation where it's a Nicole on the mole situation where they're just making it so obvious that they're trying to throw people off the scent that they can't actually be the mole. But you know, again, they're basically making her the main antagonist for the at least the short term. So, and worth keeping an eye on her. So,
I think there are a lot of people to keep their eye on. And even before she won, I was on Sasha.
Yeah.
And please don't hear that differently, folks. This is a clean podcast. See that little clean box that we try to maintain and never do?
Yeah, violations.
But very simply, folks, when you watch someone who's actually willing to sit back and let the information come to her, it's one of those classic games where it's like, okay, the killer is not going to be very forward. The killer is not going to push a lot in the first round. They're going to take that opportunity to observe who they're dealing with and know who they can say a lot to and who they can't say a lot to. Sasha really, for the most part, let other people drive information to her, didn't want to ruffle feathers, but, you know, backed people off when they needed to for breaking into lunchtime conversations. She's either A, an extremely savvy player, because I'm guessing that she's the one person who got that the shot came from outside. I think most people missed that shot came from outside, and thus that's why the pane of glass was missing.
I mean, I would figure Ronnie knew that as well, seeing as how he discovered the missing pane, because there was no broken glass. It was a pane that
he
was
discovered
removed.
The missing pane, but he also, during the episode, kind of facepalmed himself, saying, "Ah, how did I, you know, kind of how did I miss that?" Didn't directly state that, but that was the feeling I got. He was like, "I should have added that." I think he got everything else. I just think he thought the shot might have came from inside the house rather than realizing, oh, it literally was from out there.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, that's a hell of a stretch to go for. But, hey, give people that much credit. I hope everyone did moderately well. And now I'm just sitting back waiting for the next episode, which is only a few days away.
Yep. But
all in all, it's entertainment, folks.
Yes.
Don't be too picky with it. It's entertaining. I'm interested in seeing how the next person gets killed off. I know we saw an explosion, but who knows if that's this episode, next episode, or even the killing itself. It could just be a booby trap to scare people. But it's entertaining, it's intelligent television, and I really, really hope they give us a few more clues and let us play along a little bit more. They're missing some of that play-along factor that The Mole really, really had.
Yeah.
Because The Mole forced players to actively sabotage, we could pay attention the entire episode and find things that were going on. Mm-hmm. In this, the players do not, and specifically the killer, does not have to actively sabotage at all. The killer can just sit there and keep their mouth shut until someone gets eliminated every time. And because they're not forced to do anything, it really limits the amount of information or clues that we can get. But hey.
And really, it's kind of the exact opposite of the idea of playing along at home, because not only are there no clues and stuff like that, but because we're just not allowed to watch the show we're watching anymore, the killer is tweeting on the bottom of the screen.
Yes.
I was like, really?
I didn't hate that, but I do feel like that should be more clue-ridden. There should be little words and things that should help the audience be like, okay, I should be paying more attention to this.
I realize that DVR penetration has kind of progressed over the last several years, but assuming you're watching the program live,
yeah.
Whenever that little tweet from the killer comes up, it's telling you, hey, stop what you're doing and go on Twitter and say stupid stuff rather than participate in the game. It's like, we're supposed to just stop and say, oh, no, you're Mr. Killer, you're not Adriana, hashtag I'm an idiot, you know?
You know, the people who choose to do that, and if it pulls them away from the show, yes, it's kind of disappointing that they're destroying an immersive experience. But it's not the show doing that, it's people doing that, and people letting themselves be conditioned and trained to be like, oh, he's on Twitter, I should be on Twitter too. No. I'm going to sit there, I'm going to read the tweet on the screen, I'm going to see if there's maybe something interesting or informative there, but I am not leaving the show. That's just me.
Again, I don't even want my attention drawn away from what's supposed to be on the screen.
And thus why you're addicted to movies.
Indeed. Especially if they got boobies.
So, any predictions for who's going next week? Or I should say just in a couple of days, who's going to be killed off? Or who do you want to be killed off? Don't worry about the predictions. Who do you want to die?
The show wants me to want Adriana to die, certainly.
Yes.
Honestly, Cam kind of annoys me.
Thank you! Right where I was going. And honestly, not because he annoys me, but more so because I think everyone really has him high on their suspect list. I'm like, I just want to knock that off now. Throw some chaos into the house.
Yeah, like his first joke is like, you know, I'm coming into this mystery game. I got a degree in criminology. I'm going to win. Like, die. Just die.
And again, folks, more importantly, reality TV producers, if you want to introduce more shows where we get to kill off the contestants we don't like, please. Seriously, Big Brother, if you're going to steal something, steal that. Even if it's a fake death, I'll just pretend it's real. Because it makes me happy. Gleeful.
I would love it if Cam's death was like breaking the fourth wall and the camera and then like the crane camera falls on him, you know?
That would be an amazing death. Especially if they really did it like to freak the contestants out. It was like, oh, you thought this was just a show.
Yeah. But again, the creative pun-esque death, have it be the death cam.
Oh, and on that note, folks, before he gets any more punny, this reality rant is...
I still think Christopher Lloyd did it.